If you've been following the recent series we started with author Sean Morrison about his memoir coming, Tour Stories from Beside the White Line, you remember in episode one, we focused on the foundation of who Sean was, and we had a conversation with his father. Part two is about the loyalty that existed in his life during his ride across the United States. So today's conversation will focus on Sean and his relationship with his current wife, Caitlin, and how she was able to support him in his journey across the United States from afar. It's going to be an invigorating episode. It's going to tell you and show you how loyalty can focus. And so with that, let's go. And today on Voices, we are at part two. And this excites me because if you listen to the first episode, Sean gave us some really, really interesting information about his book. And then his dad, Randy, gave us some volume and dimension to it. So we're continuing our story with Sean Morrison, the author of Tour Stories, Beside the White Line. And I'm really excited to continue. We're at the middle point of this conversation. And so today we're going to talk about a specific dimension that's special to Sean. Obviously his dad was special, but this is a specifically special one for him. And we're moving to relationships, right? And so with this one, no person can introduce themselves like themselves. So Sean, welcome back. And we have a guest with you, but we'll have you introduce yourself again, and then we'll talk to your guests.
Hey, thanks for having me back on the show. It was super fun last time, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you again. So today, I got my now wife, Caitlin Morrison, with us on the show. She was my fairly new girlfriend at the time. So it brings a unique element to the story there. Hopefully that we have a successful launch in March for the Kickstarter. So be on the lookout for that. But I'll let my beautiful wife introduce herself.
All right.
Well, I'm Caitlin. I'm Caitlin Morrison, and been married to Sean for almost 6 years. We have one son together, and we are currently renovating our house. So
that sounds fun.
Does it sound fun? You want to call on over and
no, sir, I do not. Just the thought process.
Creatively, it's fun. Physically, not so much.
I believe it. And you know, so Sean, I want to start you with the question that I think is worthy of asking. Did you see, and I'm foreshadowing for you to look backwards, but then to look forward, did you see yourself where you are right now in the situation you're in right now?
Oh, man. No way. So
let me answer this.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Sean, ma'am, thought that he was going to be living in a van down by the river. Going on it.
That was my big dream. And you know how hard it is to achieve that, man? I got student loan debt. I got responsibilities. So I can't just go live in a van down by the river. It's tough.
He said, if anything ever happens to me, whether it's by choice, I leave, or something else happens.
I wouldn't leave.
No, if I leave.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If I leave. I'm not leaving either, but you give this whole hypothetical. He was like, well, I'm going to finally live in a van down by the river. He said, you are the only thing keeping me on the grid. If it was not for you or my dad, I'd be off the grid.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and I'm glad you just said that. Caitlin, I'm glad you said that because you mentioned it, because his dad just – and we'll get into the more specifics, but his dad really was like, I don't know what's wrong with my son when he decided to do this. So Sean really was that guy, like, I'm going to be off the grid. So, you know, I could see him with the grizzly beard and, you know, the flannel shirt and just, you know.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, I looked very there. Similar to that.
That was me right there. Yes, that's true. Perfectly correct. All right, so let's backtrack a little bit to make sure we show the foundation of Caitlin in the story, right?
Yeah.
So we start, and Sean tells his parents at graduation, hey, man, I'm going to bike ride across the country. I know I just got my degree, but, you know, cab, that's cool. This bike riding thing across the country is definitely top priority over work. And
for sure,
saved his money, and he had
$8. Made sense in my head.
Right. And he had $8. I think that's how much your dad said you had. You had $8 total dollars. And so now we ask the question. So what was your relationship status, maybe not with Caitlin, but in general, at that time when you made this decision to ride your bike with your friend Jeff across the country?
Caitlin, go ahead. I'll let you answer that.
I can't answer that. You decided that with Jeff many, many years before I was even in the picture.
Oh, no. He asked what my relationship status was, right?
He said when you decided.
Oh, when I decided.
Yes. When you decided.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I decided we were going to do this in high school. I was dating a girl that I had no intention of marrying at all. I really wasn't thinking that far in the future. I was thinking, what can satiate these like urges that I have to test myself and push myself right now? And well, I'm in high school. I can't exactly do this right now. I'll do it after high school. After high school, my dad said, you need to go to college or join the military. So I couldn't join the military because my knees were too bad for the Marines. So I went to college to, you know, appease my dad. College happens. Okay, now I can do it. Well, I got all the student loan debt. You know what? I'll throw that into forbearance for a second. And I'm going to freaking do what I want to do for the first time. I'm going to make the first decision in my life that is truly mine. And I'm going to do this thing. So my relationship status when I first decided it was not a concern. And I knew that it was going to happen at some point in my life.
Okay. And so when you started that, when you are in Seattle and you're in Washington State, did you know Caitlin at the time?
Oh, yeah. So we had been dating for about a year, mm-hmm. under a year.
Yeah, under a year. So we met in 2011. We had a very rocky and tumultuous relationship about the first 8 months. It was not fun. And he was not a nice person. And at some point during those 8 months, he had told me that he was going to ride his bicycle across the United States. And I was like, okay. And I just kind of said, okay. Well, he didn't tell me when. I don't know. Maybe he did say after graduation. I honestly don't remember, but I just said, okay. And he did it. So
the reason it was a bit rough, though, is because I had had a long-term girlfriend at my previous college. We dated for about 3 years, over 3 years, and off and on. But my mind was really like, that is the person that I'm going to marry, right? I was really cemented into that. And when that didn't work out, it was really hard for me to sort of flip the script a little bit, move on. And when I met Caitlin, she is the first woman who ever stirred any sort of emotion in me, like at all. And I was like, this, I need to follow this, whatever this is, I need to like go toward it and see if it pans out. And I just worked on it, and she was super patient with me because I was a for real jackass on multiple occasions. I'll admit it. I'm sorry. But you know what? I appreciate her patience and her understanding, because I was having a really difficult time dealing with that.
And I gave you quite a large pill of realism is what I brought to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
and when you say realism, what do you mean? Did you have to like put him in a chokehold a few times to make him behave?
No, I we had the on again, off again for the whole fall semester of our senior year. And we had a class together. So of course I could not freaking escape him, even if I wanted to, because we were in class and we always got put together because our degrees are certified K-12. So they're like, oh, y'all are kind of the same weird elective majors. So you just kind of go together. And so we always got put in groups together, and I just got fed up one night, and I just told him, this is what's happening. Let go of the past, move forward, and I'm out. Or I'm out. And
now it's interesting you say that, because so you gave him not an ultimatum, but you gave him a reality check of, I want to be with you, but if you don't get right, I won't be with you. And so,
I honestly don't even think it was an ultimatum. I think I just peaced out.
It was a bit ultimatum-y. It had like an ultimatum-y like taste to it. Yeah.
But I know, I just like let you have it, and I walked out. And he, whether he said yes or no, or like, let's work this out or not, I really didn't care at that point. I was just so, so fed up. And I got a text and he said, I choose you. Yeah. I'm letting it go. I choose you. And
so that was, okay. So now my question is that I got his dad's response. His dad's response when he was told he was going to ride. Now, mm-hmm. This is a guy you told let go of the past, and he manned up, and much credit to him, because obviously you have a family and a life together and you're happy. So what was your reaction when he told you? Because obviously, and while you didn't hear the episode that we did with his dad, it was interesting, the dynamic, because you could see his dad kind of go back into that place of, he remembered what happened that day, and he's like, dude. And you could see Sean remembered of, hey man, you don't believe in me, I'm gonna go do this thing. And I admired it in a sense, because they fully felt it, and they're totally cool with each other, but they could still remember that moment. And so for you, do you remember that moment when he said, hey Caitlin, you know, I'm serious about you, but I'm gonna go do this thing? No, you don't remember?
No, because I'm sure that, no, I have, and what's crazy is I have the most insane memory of anyone I know.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's weird, man.
I can remember what he was wearing, what he said, random things and dates and times. I have no recollection of him telling me that. I just knew it was, it honestly came as a package deal with Sean. Whenever I first met him, and I thought he was homeless, and he had, you know,
yeah,
the long beard and the V-neck. He was wearing a Catholic Saints bracelet. He had on a rosary. He has a Hebrew tattoo, or had, I guess you still do, has a Hebrew tattoo. He's wearing Manprees and Chacos, and came and sat beside me in class. And I was like, oh God.
Probably a knitted beanie too.
Oh, you had your beanie on, your tragus pier. There's this guy coming to sit by me. Lord have mercy. So, at some point in our early friendship, because I actually, this is a little detail we forgot, I had a boyfriend when we met. And Sean said,
hey, I didn't play, I didn't,
I did not cheat.
Let's go ahead and throw it out there.
I did not cheat on my boyfriend. But I did tell Sean, oh God, like there's so many stories that I love about us, and it's really hard to consolidate. But in the beginning, it was more of like, we got put together for projects, and so he would sit by me in class, and we just kind of talk back and forth. And so I'm sure at some point in,
so that, she sent me a note.
Oh boy, here we
she
go.
Passed a little note over my way.
And it said,
yeah.
This was, no, this was day two.
She said,
this was the second day of class.
All of my notes had been gold, right? Like, I was just sliding into home with every single note that I passed her away. I was like, yes, this is like, I'm flirting with the best of them here. And she passed me a note and said, I have a boyfriend, .. And it's real serious. And I'm telling you this.
Wait, what was the second sentence?
I'm real serious.
No, the second sentence.
I don't know. What was the rest?
But I like having new friends.
But I like having new friends. All right. In the middle of class, I erupted in the jolliest, loudest laughter you've ever heard in your life.
And I was pissed. Why would you laugh at me? And then, first of all, I'm super type A, and the teacher was
the whole class just looking at me.
Oh, right? I was bad.
And I'm just belly laughing, like, oh my God, did you really just say that? Because I was confident. Like, if you have to say that, like, it's game over. Right, like,
if you have to say it's serious, then it's not.
It's exactly, yeah. If you have to say it's serious, then it's not.
I broke up with him the next month.
and then you broke up with him to choose singleness, because you chose singleness first, and then you obviously maintained your friendship, and then you worked from there. So it's interesting. So Sean, how did you tell her that you were going to do the bike ride?
You know, I don't remember that story either, to be honest, because in college, I did a lot of smaller tours, like in preparation for it. So I rode from like Rock Hill to Greenville, which is like a couple hundred miles. And, you know, I spread it out over a couple of days. I rode across South Carolina. That one was with Jeff as like a practice run so we could test out some gear. Which surprisingly, we didn't have any issues with the gear on our practice run, but I'll talk about the issues when Jeff comes out, because it was immediate. Like immediately, I was like, we can't get across America. There's no way this is going to work. Anyways,
so
I did a lot of practice runs. So it was sort of like, if you know Sean, he rides his bike. He's a weird, he runs around barefoot a lot. Like this is just kind of what he does. What I did, and so
like I said, it was a package deal. Like it was part of Sean. You know how some people say, well, if you're gonna marry me or date me, you also get my kids or my dog or my cat. For Sean, it was, well, if you're gonna date me, you need to know that I need to do these adventures and I need to have this adrenaline and this thrill, and I said okay.
And then even in the proposal, when I proposed to her, I said, if you're gonna marry me, you're also gonna marry my bicycle. So I did ride,
Janice.
I did ride my bike down the aisle.
When we got married.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's cool. that's awesome.
Just as a symbolic, like it's part of that, you know, package thing. Right. So
it's also letting the public know when you make this public pronouncement of your togetherness of this is the guy she's marrying. Just so everyone knows, this is the guy. And she knows it, yeah, exactly. Like, because there's no way you could have just showed up, because she might have walked off if you had not been aware of that. So
yeah,
So a really quick synopsis of this question is for you, Caitlin, about just the ride in general. So now we'll talk about specifics in the ride, but what did you think of him or anyone riding their bike across the country? Like what was your opinion then, and I would even say what's your opinion now?
Well, my gut reaction then, of course, is you're crazy. Why would you want to do that? Your butt's gonna hurt. We have cars. What is wrong with you? Which is, I ask him all the time now, what is wrong with you? Now I think it is quite possibly the coolest thing ever, and I bring it up as often as I can when we meet new people, because I'm like, my husband is cool. He is like, he did this. And I've always thought he is so much cooler than me. So
I'll stop.
So that ties in with the thing of, oh, Sean's so cool. And I love to just kind of slip it in conversation. And then people are like, wait, what did you just say? He what? And then it's fun to me to tell that story and to get that reaction, even though I didn't do it. I guess I'm so proud and just amazed, and it's such a feat. It's not something that regular people just go out and do. Like, you have to be a little bit tweaked in the head, I think.
I said the same thing in the episode of my dad.
So then, I mean, I thought he was crazy, but okay, if Sean says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. That's just how he is. So I just accepted it and thought, well, I mean, okay, if that's how you want to spend your time after graduation, I'm going to go teach in a low-income school and get beat up basically every day. So that sounds, you know, about the same.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is you said the exact same thing that his dad said. Because his dad said, Sean said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You both are on the same lodge. If he said it, he's going to do it. Now, do I think he's sane for doing it? No, but I know he's going to do it. And so yes, there's a consistency.
And honesty, yeah, honesty, like that level of honesty and commitment and loyalty to your word and to the people around you, like that is probably the biggest thing for me in the world. Like if you say it, like just do it.
Yeah.
I live by that mantra as well. It's like you choose the words that come out of your mouth. So when you choose them, at least choose the ones that are going to be real, right? And so with that, now how did that, so Sean, you are in Washington State and you and Jeff are riding, and obviously you alluded to it a little bit, we'll get that in another episode, there was a problem right away. Now, Jeff said he didn't have, not Jeff, Sean said when they got there, his money disappeared like right away. So he was poor right away. So he's bike poor, but he has a good bike with equipment. And he has friends, so he has companionship. So there's nothing like being poor with companionship. It's okay then. And so with that, he starts the ride. And Sean obviously said he called his dad. Sean, do you remember the first time that you called Caitlin?
First time, that was like right after we landed.
Yeah.
So she was my beacon to the world. Really, like I would send everything to her and I'm like, hey, disseminate the information because I'm not talking to anybody. I'm going to go and do my own thing.
Put my head down and ride. Yeah. And I was your speakerphone.
Yeah, pretty much. Like my dad wanted to know exactly where I was, or my mom wanted to know, they would contact her before me for sure.
We were in almost daily contact.
Yeah.
Up until
Arizona, Nevada. It's a little fuzzy.
Somewhere in there, his phone completely went kaput.
Okay, so I do want to ask about that because Sean did mention that his phone broke early on in the ride, which is what you're talking about. So, Caitlin, I want to ask you actually focus on something you mentioned and Sean mentioned too. He said you were the beacon, his beacon to the world. Now, at that point, where did you see your relationship together, like both of you? Where did you see it? Because if you chose her to be basically your megaphone to the world, to be your basically your reporter, where were you? Because I mean, not to say it in this sense, but you kind of up and left and you said, hey, I'm going to ride across the country. Hey, you be good for the next 3 months or whatever. You go work your real job. I'm going to go do this thing. Where did you think your relationship would go? Like at that moment, you may or may not be able to remember, but at that moment, when he was there and he called you and said, hey, Caitlin, I'm here. It's real. Yeah. What did you think? Where was your relationship going to go?
Yeah, so we started dating in December of 2011, officially, and still had some rocky times in the spring, but, you know, we worked it out. Then we decided that our relationship was going to be short-term. This was not a long-term thing. Then we had even talked about breaking up at graduation because we were both in just denial and I didn't want to get hurt and he didn't want to get hurt. And so we were kind of doing this whole, it's just short term. It's fun. Whatever. I like you. We're just doing this. Whatever. No big deal. And kind of playing that game and doing that dance. But he accidentally moved in with me over the summer so that...
It was an accident. I didn't mean to.
Okay.
He was a camp counselor at a nearby summer camp, and he had to move out of his townhouse. I was in a townhouse down the street, so he was like, hey, can I leave my stuff here? My roommate had moved out. I was planning on getting a different apartment after that lease was up, and I said, sure, whatever. You know, he'd come and visit on the weekends when he had some time off, and he had his stuff there. He didn't have a lot of stuff, and then we ended up moving to a bigger and nicer apartment, and then he peaced out. And so we were in a very committed relationship. I think at that point I already knew I wanted to marry you. And Sean wasn't there yet. It took him a lot longer. I knew pretty early on, I don't have a definite date or month even. But I was the first one to say, I love you. And I knew much earlier on that this was, for me, it was just so different than any other relationship I had had. So when he left, I thought maybe he'd come back and we'd get married. And everyone kind of assumed that he would come back and propose if I put up with that, you know. Caitlin's gonna put up with that, then you need to come back and propose. And if, you know, the Southern thing too, it had been a year, so we were 22 and 23, and that's pretty old as far as Southern marriages go.
Okay.
So a lot of people thought that he would come back and propose and we'd get married, and I kind of saw that as where we were headed. Ended up being another 2 years. But I didn't expect him to immediately propose, but I saw us going towards marriage. And I knew he wasn't there.
Is that what you thought too, Sean? And did you think, hey, you know, something's about her?
I was like, dude, she let me move in. That's dope. You know, no, I was extremely thankful that she bought my stuff at her house, especially while I went and lived in the woods at camp and then, you know, lived on the side of the street for 3 months on my bike trip. But when I started the trip, I was like, this is my serious girlfriend. I'm really into her and, you know, I want to work on this thing. But it was in Arizona where my mind really just changed. It really flipped, and it was really all in like one conversation.
Now you mentioned Arizona. So now I remember in your conversation with your dad where you had a conversation with Jeff and you're like, hey, I'm poor. I have no money. I'm going to start roofing houses and creating clay houses or whatever. So when you ran out of money, and I don't know if this is Arizona or not, but, when that moment happened, what happened, with you there? Well, how did you say to Caitlin, hey, Caitlin, I'm poor and I don't know if I'm going to make it across the country? Was that Arizona or was this a different spot?
Yeah, it was Arizona. There's a website called warmshowers.org and they like let cyclists stay
and couch surfing.
It's very similar, but it's just for cyclists. And we were staying with one of them and I was using Jeff's iPad and I was chatting with Caitlin. And I said, hey, Jeff's going to go on. I'm going to hang back here and I'm going to get on Craigslist and like look for jobs because, you know, like roofing, like you said, roofing houses, cleaning gutters, cutting grass, whatever, because I have $0. Like I cannot make it another day and eat anything. And that's when.
Was it a text conversation or a phone call?
No, we were on FaceTime.
Oh, okay. And I told him. No, that's not an option. You are going to finish this or you're forever going to regret it.
Wow. Okay. So why did you feel that way?
Because I knew that was true. I wasn't just, but I knew that Sean, like a lot of men, has quite the ego.
Oh, come on. That's super sexist. It's true for me, but
it's probably true.
And so I knew that he would beat himself up. And because those words that his dad had said, well, how far do you think we're going to make it, would just burn a hole into his spirit. And he would be like just ashes after that. So for him to just stop, like it would have ruined him.
Yeah, she's not wrong. Like it would have jacked you up pretty bad.
You made a mention about what his dad asked. His dad, because we talked about that in the conversation with his dad of how far do you think he's gonna make it? So because clearly he told you that. When he told you that, what was your thought of hearing that? What did you think about his dad saying that to him?
I already told him.
I was appalled but not shocked.
Fair enough. And what do you think the rationale of his dad? Because I kind of shared my rationale as well, where I thought in that initial moment, again, I don't know his dad, but in that initial moment, I felt like that was something where he might have been trying to keep his son home, where to create this thing that it was undoable and that Sean would change his mind. And so what do you think the rationale behind his dad saying that to him was?
I just think that grandly different views of what a successful life looks like for them. So for Randy, it is more of the classic American dream. And for Sean, he wants to stomp that typical American dream onto the ground and do it his own way. So for Randy to ask that, to me, I think it was, oh, so you're going to, it's like how we thought that you cannot be sane to do this. It's almost do you think that you're honestly going to finish this? Because in his mind, that's just something that was absurd for someone to do. That is just not what you do after college. That's not how you behave as an adult. You need to get the 9-to-5. You need to just get married, settle down, have kids. So in my mind, it's more of a...
Well, it seems like a generational sort of divide there. Because yes. Randy said all that. He admitted that. Randy said all that. He said, hey, man, I expected Sean to do this, this, and this, and he didn't do it. And so, you right. know, Randy was open about right. it, and he appreciates what the ride did for yeah. Sean as a man. But it was also, I think Randy said there was some fear, too, because he's a dad, and he's trying to protect his son. So, yeah. wow. And you all are parents, so you know this. You try to do the best for your child, even though either your child doesn't necessarily want to accept it or it, you know, you're learning as you go, right? There's no manual.
Right.
And Sean, you know, you mentioned something, and this is just kind of a quick go back. We talked about that movie theater shooting, and you talked about it with your dad and sort of the nervousness of the state of the country at the time. I'm not sure how familiar you're with it, with Caitlin, with that movie theater shooting, Caitlin. Was that in your mind, any of the sort of the events in the United States, were those things in your mind when he started that ride that concerned you?
I was never afraid for his safety. I knew about the shooting in Aurora, and I was nervous about going to movie theaters, but I was not concerned about Sean being able to protect himself, that if it ever came to that he would know what to do and he would know how to survive. I fully trust him in that realm. If I ever needed to survive a zombie apocalypse, I would want to have him with me, not just because he's my husband and I love him and he's fun. Live. So.
So from that, when he finished the ride, right? Like, because we'll talk about some memorable moments in a second. But when he finished the ride, when he was back on the East Coast, because there's probably two moments. Because I remember asking Sean, I was like, hey, where'd you finish? He's like, I was in Florida. I was done. I don't know where my mind is, but I finished. I'm in Florida. I made it East Coast. I know I can get in the car or something and someone can find me, right? So when Sean finished, the initial part, when he hit Florida, how did you feel? Because I know he called you. And then how did you feel when he got home? So what were those two moments like? And Sean obviously chime in as well. But I'm going to ask Caitlin first.
You know, I don't know if I ever told you, but she's the one that picked me up in Florida.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I had told him that he had to be home for Christmas. And I'm a really big Christmas celebrator. And Sean the Grinch. But I told him
that I'm not the Grinch.
That he had to be home, and he got to Pensacola. He got to Jacksonville on the 14th, and I said, "Are you going to make it up to Rock Hill in 9 days?" And they were so beaten down, and it was getting cold. And anything below 70 degrees is too cold to Sean.
But it was way below 70.
But yeah. Anything below 70, you're like,
yes, okay, oh, that's true. But it was way.
Oh,
below
I need 70. A coat.
It was freaking December, man.
So. So he said, let's just, they decided to stop in Jacksonville, and I went and picked him up. I took about a week, as teachers do, and I took off of work and drove down to Jacksonville, and we all crammed in a hotel room for one night, and the next day we drove home. I don't know all of your stuff in my car.
Yeah, so I let Jeff get in the shower first, as was tradition, because he paid for the hotel room. So he got the shower first. He get no hot water at all. It's all ice water. So that's fun. And I get out, and I'm making some joke about how they're pumping in Arctic water from the ocean to whatever. And then I turn the corner, and Caitlin comes barreling at me and just jumps into my arms and starts crying. And I thought I had gotten all my tears out that day prior, but apparently not.
You cried?
No.
Yeah. And we went and ate dinner, and it was, he had shaved his face, it was so weird seeing him without a beard. And I kept, there are photos of us, and I kept looking at him, and it was weird. We were sitting just like this in a restaurant booth, and it was so strange seeing him in person. It was kind of, we had to
reacclimate.
Yeah. I don't know.
Get used to each other.
Yeah. It was
again,
we had to figure out all those nuances of being together in person again.
Well, he was real now, right? He wasn't a phone call. He wasn't like a video. He wasn't a phone call. He was a real dude. And I would just surmise this, and Caitlin, you probably felt it, and Sean, you probably felt it too. He was different. Like he probably felt like a different person then.
He was skin and bones. And in addition to his emotional state, he was so skinny, and he had no beard, the babiest baby face I'd ever seen.
Come on now.
And the hardest tan lines. He had those tan lines for years.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just, they were good. They were good. Homegrown tan lines, man. They were good.
And so it's amazing, because do you remember the car trip back to, I'm guessing, South Carolina? Because I would guess that you were looking for some sleep.
I was in the passenger seat of her, Camry, Corolla thing?
It was a Chevy Malibu.
Okay, Malibu. And I was in the passenger seat, and I had been going anywhere from 2 miles an hour to, like, I think I hit 45 miles an hour at one point on a bicycle, but mostly about 15 to 20 miles an hour. For 3 months, that was my speed on the road. I get in the car with her going, like, 70 down the interstate, and I am freaking out. Like, I'm grabbing the oh shit handle. Like, my anxiety is through the roof. I'm like, this is some bullshit. Like, this is why cyclists are afraid to be on the road. Look how fast we're going right now.
Caitlin, you're going too fast. Sean, I'm going to speed limit. Leave me alone.
Oh, yeah. And I had a problem being in cars for months.
It was at least 6 months. I
couldn't ride. I could drive, but riding, like, I couldn't do. It was the awful.
Really? I would have guessed you went to sleep because of the fatigue, but okay.
No, I was wide open.
And even now, if I tell him in 0.3 miles you're going to turn right in a car, he cannot figure out how far that is. He has no idea.
But if I'm on my bike, I can shut my eyes and know how far 0.3 miles is.
He'll go 0.1 mile and be like, right here. No, I said 0.3. In a car, it means nothing. It's the same with directions. If he's in a car going somewhere, he will not remember how to turn around and get home. He has no recollection. He blacks out. I'm sure of it. And then on a bike, if he rides around anywhere, he knows everything about everything.
Yeah. It's pretty weird.
Well, you know, I mean, you were on a bicycle. I'm surprised your legs didn't feel like you were riding a bike whenever you were walking for a while. I wouldn't be shocked at how you felt. And so along the way, because, again, I want to get the highlights. But before we do highlights, did you all set any goals along the way with each other? Because obviously you called her when you touched down. She was there when you finished. But along the way, did you say, hey, you know, I want to do this, or check in with me about this tomorrow? Were there any goals that you started to slowly create in your relationship? Because while you had to reacclimate when you saw each other again, this relationship was something that you actually developed a significant level of trust. And the word can sometimes be used negatively, but dependence. You had a dependence for each other in a positive way, but you also had a level of trust where, like, you were, outside of Jeff being next to him, you were the go-to. I mean, she told you in Arizona, hey, that foolishness you're talking about, you're not going to do that. You're going to keep going because I'm not trying to hear you. And the thing is, he listened. So you were like the counsel. And so I that's why I asked the question, did you start kind of like subliminally or even intentionally start creating goals for yourself in the relationship along the way?
Yeah, so when I forgot to say, like, in that conversation that we had in Arizona, that everything sort of changed, and my goal was to really figure out how, I don't know if it's figure out, but I knew that I was going to marry her after that conversation, because she can not only put up with me being gone for so long, which I know now from my job in the Navy, that's kind of a requirement as well. But like she can do that. She's an independent woman, who don't need no man, but she, she loves, you know, I love being with her, and I appreciate that we can be independent and dependent on, like you said, on each other. And so a goal of mine was to develop that relationship and how to create our marriage.
And honestly, it was even not even going as far as marriage, but putting yourself completely in our relationship.
Yeah, that's a good start.
You had, I don't even know if you were at marriage yet, but you were, you still had about 3/4 of a wall up. I'm sorry. No, wait. You had 1/4 of a wall left up. I had about 3/4 of it broken away. And so I didn't know that this was happening at the time, but there was a time, what was it, a day in Oregon where you were on a mountain.
In California. So what she's talking about is, so before this, I was cycling down the West Coast, and I was processing Hannah out. I was like trying to reboot, reprogram my life and like put only Caitlin in. And I was rehashing all of the old relationship, and I was trying to like learn from it and learn about myself. Like, why am I still living in the past? Why do I have these emotions? How do I change? And then there was, I think it's called Hasita Lighthouse, and it's in California. We were looking over this cliff, and I said to myself, I don't want to sound like a crazy person, but in my head, I was like, this is where I leave her. Like, this is as far as she's going with me. And I hope that everything works out for her just fine. But like, I'm done right here. And then from that point on, at that moment, I was riding toward Caitlin, and I was no longer running away riding away from Hannah. But I was riding toward my future wife.
That's so cheesy.
It was.
But you know what's awesome about that is that Caitlin knew that you had that in you, but you had to go through it. And it took mountains and losing your cell phone, or your cell phone being destroyed and being penniless, to say, okay, you know what? I got it. And the thing about it is that I don't know if it's a man thing, because I can relate. You have to kind of like put yourself through the fire for you to be like, okay, you know what? Enough. Right? Like, for guys, it's just different. We have to be punched in the face. Like, we really got to get punched in the face to be like, you know what? I already know what I'm supposed to, like, we do know what we're supposed to do. It's just, we don't want to. Go ahead.
Okay. He had been putting himself through the ringer for about a year before we met. He had just been beating himself up about it. So it had finally gotten to that point for him okay, this is enough. And I don't know if you told me about that lighthouse when it was happening.
No, I definitely didn't. No.
That you were working through that. I don't remember when you told me, if you got home, if you wrote me a letter, I totally forgot. I wrote him a letter for every week that he was going to be gone. And I wrote on it the date. I forgot about these. Yeah. I wrote on the date on the front that he was supposed to open it. And I put them all in a Ziploc bag so that they wouldn't get wet or get messed up. And that he had them in his bag.
Yeah, I carried them with me across the country. And so every week that would go by, I'd pull out a new letter.
I totally forgot I did that. Wow. I did too.
That's the only thing that didn't get messed up when the soy sauce bottle broke in my bag.
Dang, I'm soy sauce.
You know, a funny thing is, when Sean and I first talked, I mentioned Forrest Gump to him, because I just felt like this is when he was running across the country. And not to like compare, because obviously Forrest Gump was, you know, different. But you, and again, not to insult you either, because Jenny is a horrible person. She was a horrible, horrible person. But you were his Jenny. Like, Forrest made it through Vietnam, and I have to say it like Forrest said it, but he made it through Vietnam because of Jenny. Like, that's his whole thing, and he accepted whatever relationship he had. But you showed him early on, before, like, he even was ready to accept it, that, you know, you were there. And that's awesome. Like, I just can't even imagine. What motivated you to write those letters? I'm actually curious about that. I know I'm going off a little bit, but what motivated that?
It's okay. I am a huge, what is my thing? Words of affirmation?
Yeah.
Words of affirmation is my main love language, and also gifts. So letters put those two things that I desire, and I was giving them to him. They weren't serious. They were stick figures and silly things and jokes. I think I had quotes on there, and it was a mishmash of a lot of things, but I've been doing that and sending him letters and doing these sort of week by week things for a long time now that we've been apart several times, and he's figured out ways to do the same for me. When he was in boot camp, he set up a secret email account that would send me emails while he was in boot camp, and it was automatically generated because he missed my birthday and Valentine's Day and some other days. So that's just something that we've always kind of done.
That's a pro tip for anyone going into boot camp.
That is a pro tip. That is, even though I think people, I know in the Air Force, they talked about people having cell phones and all that stuff. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment on that because I'm not in the military anymore. Yeah. So I'll leave my opinion of that out of it. But, you know, the thing that I do want to know is what did you learn about each other from this ride? Like, what did you learn?
I learned that Caitlin knows what I want and knows the steps that I need to take to get there, probably more so than I do. And that if she says something, if she says something that is directed towards my goals, that I probably should listen to that, right?
I've been a voice of reason for you for many years.
Okay, well, okay, you little Geppetto. Is that the cricket?
The puppet master.
What's the conference?
The cricket.
Oh, Jiminy yeah, Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket, that's it.
Yeah. I think Geppetto works, though. Geppetto works. She's the puppet master.
Oh, come on, that's messed up, bro.
No, he's way too hard-headed and headstrong for that, but sometimes you do need a little voice of reason, a little nudge of we're on Earth and it is 2020. Here's reality.
Yeah, sometimes I think we talked about it, you know, off the podcast, but we both like to dream big, right? So it's sometimes bringing it down and taking things step by step on how to get to those big goals, it's important.
I'm the list maker of the relationship.
Well, you know, that's good. I mean, you sort of sound like yin and yang, where, you know, Sean will get you into the adventure and you'll make sure that you don't die on the adventure.
You're right. It's always been that way.
We've talked about that a lot.
Yeah. He's pulling me out of my comfort zone and getting me to try new things. And, you know, we have done things as a couple and
hiked Peru.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we were getting there yet, but, you know, hike the Salcantay Trek to Machu Picchu in Peru that I never thought I would have ever done. And we did it, and we both survived, barely. I survived without any of my toenails. But
it's gross.
There are things that I know if I would not have met Sean in our lives wouldn't have turned out the way that it has, that I'd probably just still be in Rock Hill teaching, which is fine. Like that's a perfectly fine life to have, but he's really kind of turned it upside down, what I thought my life was going to look like. And then for me,
I'm not living in a van down by the river.
That's all it takes. All right,
so. so as I start like sort of minimizing the questions here a little bit, what now, just going back to the ride, because the focus is on the tour stories, you know, beside the white line, and this is giving
we get around off topic sometimes.
It's good, but this is adding the dimension so people understand the author and the life of the author and like what led him to it. And so Sean, I think this does add value, specifically with Caitlin adding sort of like how she played a role, even though we didn't really know. So what, in your opinion, Caitlin and Sean, were some of the highlights of the moments he had, or you know he had, of your lives along the way? What are some of the highlights there?
Coyote sniffing your butt.
So, coyote sniffing my butt. So there was like this rest area in like Arizona or something. And Jeff and I will argue this to the death. He says, no, it didn't happen, but it did. I hung a hammock up, you know, at the rest area, and he was sleeping underneath the picnic table. If this just gives you any sort of glimpse into what sort of lifestyle we were living at the time. And
life of luxury, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was nice.
Yes.
And I shot Caitlin a text because I felt it, and then I felt like something touched my butt in the hammock. Under the hammock. And then I felt like wind blow on it, and I was like, that's uncomfortable. And then I hear like some footsteps, and I like lean over the side, and I see this little coyote trotting off into the desert. And I'm like, what?
Well, I believe you, sir, and I'm going to tell you why. I think I mentioned this to you before. When my friend and I flew to San Francisco, and my friend and I, he was at Travis Air Force Base, and we drove from Travis Air Force Base up in Northern California to Los Angeles. And as we were driving back from Los Angeles, I swore a coyote was running next to the car. And he told me I was crazy. And I'm like, no, it's a coyote next to the car. So I believe you, sir.
That's coyote story, guys. We got to stick together.
Yes. Yes, coyotes are real.
He texted me and said a coyote just sniffed my butt. And I vividly remember in our bed in Bradford Park. And I was up too late. I was supposed to go to bed early because I was a teacher and got to wake up early. And I rolled over and got that text. And I said, what in all caps? That was one.
Any other stories?
I remember when I got mad at you for shotgunning beers in San Francisco because I said you were being childish.
All right, so San Francisco is a story that we'll definitely talk about with Jeff. Yeah. But we had a whole crew of people meet us out in San Francisco for about a week, and we just had a couple of wild nights, and Caitlin got kind of mad because I was acting childish, which is probably true, but nevertheless.
Yeah. Other memorable moments? The going to Mexico to get a breakfast burrito.
Yep. Is he talking about memorable moments with us?
Anyone. It doesn't matter. It's a memorable moment that you could share together where, like, she wasn't there for the coyote, but she sure remembers it. And so it's just whatever you communicate with.
So the airport for me was definitely one. When we flew out, because my mom, my grandparents showed up to the airport, and Caitlin, and she had a real composure about her.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. But she seemed super calm. I didn't even know how to check into the airline because my brain was so frazzled about, like, what's happening right now.
I think you walked away from the bike at one point, and Jeff was like, Sean, the bike.
Yeah, I was really, like, just in a daze, sort of. But I remember walking away, and, you know, we both just said goodbye like normal people, and then I walked away, and as soon as I cut that corner, man, like, I know that I started to sort of let the emotion take over me, and she told me later that she sort of did the same. But maintaining that composure while we were together really meant a lot for me, because I needed to get my head sort of in the right mindset to start the trip, and she knew that, and that's something that I appreciate.
Yeah, I waited to cry until I got to the car.
Yeah.
And I made sure your mom and your grandma were not watching.
gotta be strong in public. Stone face. I understand. So because of this ride, Caitlin, this is I'll ask you first, and then Sean, you can follow up. Your relationship has obviously been going for several years now. What do you think this ride did for you and your relationship now, and how has it benefited Sean as being your husband at this point? And then Sean, obviously, the same question, how have you improved, and how has it, like, that your relationship with Caitlin becomes strengthened because of what you did and what she showed you?
It was a huge stepping stone for us in terms of communication. We had been in college together, lived right down the street from each other, had classes together. So we were always right there, and it was pretty easy to stay in touch with everyday things. And, you know, we were living basically the same life at that point. So for us to be doing two completely separate things, I was teaching at one of the 100 worst schools in the nation, and it was my first year teaching. So I was struggling with that. And Sean's doing this cycle tour, and he's, I did not know it, but battling internally this previous relationship and trying to make some really tough decisions. And we had to learn, going through our own separate hard times, how to communicate with each other when we did have time to talk, because it wasn't very frequent, especially after the dying of the phone. RIP.
It's not my fault.
So we had a lot of crappy communication during that trip. I remember fighting a lot at certain points, and then thinking, like, I don't want our one conversation that we had this week, because there were times when it wasn't your phone. You didn't have service on certain mountains or in valleys.
Nevada, like.
Basically, yeah, the whole of Nevada, you didn't have service. And so I didn't want that one conversation to be a crappy conversation. And really working hard to maximize the time that we had, that we were able to talk. We were not effective communicators after that trip. It did not fix it. We probably did not learn to effectively communicate until 3 or 4 years later. It took a lot of time.
We tried sign language.
Oh,
we
stop with the dad jokes. Come on.
I can't help it, man. I'm a dad. It just oozes out of me.
So that's something that I think that we learned about.
I'll agree. And like, to add to the communication part, I'll say that the trip really just laid a foundation for our relationship, because it said it established what is important to both of us. For me, it's fitness, it's adventure, it's challenging myself, and like that, those things are very important to me. For her, it's loyalty, like you know, knowing that I was still here,
being present with me.
Being present, communication was important to you, because you brought that up on the trip as well.
Because I could tell when he wasn't 100% there with me. You know, he's here with me, but I knew when his mind and his heart were not there. And that was a lot of the beginning of the relationship, and things changed and started shifting on the tour. And that meant a lot, that I was seeing that growth and the change for him emotionally.
All right. So because you all are obviously, you're on a new journey now, parenthood, right? I mean, obviously you don't have a baby, but you're on a journey of parenthood. And so what would you say, because Sean, you mentioned this before where you said you'd be cool with it, but like, what would you say if your son, you have a son, right? If I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
You have a son. If your son says, hey, you know, 18, 22 years old, you know what? I'm going to ride a bike across the country, Dad, because of you, right? So how would you feel about that?
Oh, boy. That put a pit in my stomach, let me tell you. I would say you better read every doggone book you can find about the subject and make sure you have enough supplies. Go talk to your dad so he can tell you all the horror stories, maybe talk you out of it. Sean's goal is for us to tour as a family.
Yes, 100%. Like, I want, so there was a family we met in, I think, Utah. We were riding down, and there wasn't going to be another town for like 30 miles or so. And this family, just this big sort of camper bus situation, pulled over on the side of the road and said, hey, come on over. And, you know, we were like, okay. And so we roll over and they say, come on in. You know, we got food and snacks. And we're like, I love snacks. So we go in and start eating like oranges, bananas, granola. And then, you know, we just strike up conversation, and they were an older couple, retired, but while they were both working full time, they managed to cycle across America with, I think, a 12-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And the 4-year-old rode in a trailer. It is either on a trailer or one of those like little ride behind things with the dad. The 6-year-old rode a tandem with the mom, and the 12-year-old rode by themselves. But they did it self-sustained all the way across the U.S. And I was like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, I'm freaking doing that. If I ever have a family, I am doing that. Then I marry Caitlin, and she's like, I don't want to do that. And so I'm like, all right.
So his compromise was, oh, well, we'll get a support van, and it'll be one of those like really big, you know, Mercedes vans, and you can follow me, and I'll do tours, and you can homeschool the kids in the van and run like social media and take videos and pictures and things.
It doesn't sound like a bad idea.
I have no comment. I get it, but you know, I see the opposition.
I know this is a fight I'm not winning, but I'm still gonna fight it.
In Sean's world, it's all about Sean.
That's not true.
It is true. Everyone, like in your head, you know, it's like, well, what I want to do, and so we've had to kind of meld what you want. We both, because, like you said, we both have lofty goals.
So I am a very selfish person. Like, I do know that, and that's
not what I was saying.
But it's true, and that's one thing that I've learned to work on, and it's one thing that goes with that. You know, she's marrying me. She's also going to marry my adventures and my bicycle going down the aisle. Like, that whole thing was about selfishness, but it's also like, give me my time, but after you give me my time, I need to give back, right? And it's that give and take situation, because that's another thing that I think was a lesson learned on the trip is just how much I need my time, but then that I need to also flip the script.
Well, for both of us.
Yeah.
We're both very independent, and we have our own interests and our own goals, but when we come together, we also have... Finish my sentence, please.
A great time.
Great time is good. That is true. And
we really enjoy each other's company and like each other as people.
I don't know what his podcast is rated, or else I would have finished that sentence there.
Yeah, please don't.
Don't worry. Don't just be you. Be you.
Sean is inappropriate 99% of the time.
Be you. It's fine.
So, separately, we have our own things, but together we also, like, we're doing this house renovation, and we did that hike, and we have things that we want to do together. At the beginning of every year, we make a list of what we want to do that year.
Yep.
I just think the story that you're telling is amazing, and if your family is set the way it is, or if you have more people in your family, I'm actually looking for the memoir to be a series. Where Caitlin comes in and she says, you know, tour stories from afar, because, you know, she's the support system, and, you know.
Let me get out my journal right here. Let's see what I get.
Absolutely. I think it's valuable, because the thing about it is that we sometimes undervalue support systems. And so I think Sean has clearly shown his appreciation for not only his dad, but you, even though, I mean, you can be at odds and still... there's a love that exists there that you can feel, and it's really appreciated. Now, I think everyone listening will hear that as well. And so with that, I will say that even though I normally do it this way, I'm really like, I think your story and your relationship is one that people should really, really definitely appreciate. And if you're willing to give more to the world at some other time, definitely do that, because I think Caitlin, you can give some examples for young ladies and obviously older ladies, like not older, but adult ladies, about just sort of how you handled the situation. And Sean, the growth that you've experienced, I think is really cool. And I think it's probably helped me be a pretty good dad. I think it's probably helped me be a good dad and pretty good husband.
Yes, you asked the question to Caitlin, and you asked me on the last episode what I would do if Kit wanted to ride his bike across America. Right. And I think that no matter what challenge he comes up with, you know, because a challenge could 100% dad, I want to go to a 4-year university, right? Like, okay, let's tackle that head on, right? Like, whatever it is, I want to be supportive and unselfish in that regard and help him achieve that goal.
Yeah, a lot of people ask us, well, what do you want? What sports do you want to put kid in, or what instrument is he going to play? And Sean says, whichever one he wants, whichever one he wants to do. And I,
you getting choked up?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm still good.
But we love the natural, right? The natural.
I love that it's that we are in such a supportive household of one another, of Kit. You're able to relax and really be who you are when you feel accepted and supported.
It sounds like one wonderful household. So the podcast is called Voices of My Brothers, Sisters, and People. And I am always appreciative of sharing the voice of other people into the world when I get the opportunity to do that. Your book is one that I think that accompanied with this, the stories, the opportunity to hear stories about you and the other dimensions of your life, really will give people more and allow them to see the levels that you have overcome and accomplished in your life. And so I'd like to leave the final word with the contributors, with the guests to the show, because while the focus was about what we plan to talk about, things can happen along in the episode that may lead you to want to have something else. So the final voice, the final word can be about anything you want to talk about. I know we live in a very interesting time in history. And so I will leave the final word with you. So Caitlin, you can go first if it's ladies first, or Sean, you can go first. It's your choice, but I thank you again for your voice and your contribution to the show.
Well, thank you for having us. It's been really fun to chat about this and go down memory lane again. I guess the final word for me would be just accept adventure as it comes, and your life may not look like what you thought it would, but sometimes that is the best
approach. All right, Sean.
Beautifully said. Hey, thanks again for having us on the show. It's always super fun talking with you. But Caitlin, thanks for coming on the show today. You definitely bring a lot to my life and a lot to the show. And I love you.